And if you would please remain standing for the scripture reading, which comes to us from Matthew chapter 5, 33 through 37. Matthew 5, 33 through 37. And following the reading of the scripture, we'll sing the Gloria Patri. Matthew 5, 33. Hear the word of the Lord. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but keep the oaths you have made to the Lord. But I tell you, do not swear it at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot even make one hair white or black. Simply let your yes be yes, and your no be no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. Amen. As we have seen, Jesus has affirmed the importance and validity of the Old Testament law for you and I as kingdom citizens. He's not critiquing when he makes these statements. You've heard that it was said, but I say unto you. He's not critiquing the law or the use of the law or the benefit of the law. What he's critiquing was the misunderstandings of the law that had developed under the Pharisees and under some of the Jewish tradition. And he's been expounding the second table of the law. He brought us first to the sixth commandment, you shall not murder. Explained that beyond that, it includes anger and contempt for your brother and sister in the Lord, that's a violation of that. He confronted us then with the seventh commandment, you shall not commit adultery, and it includes the attitudes and desires of the hearts, that is forbidden in this commandment, and divorce is a breaking of this commandment. And he comes to the next prohibition, or the next contrast that he builds in these verses that we're looking at today, and it's probably a little too much to say, maybe it's a bit of a stretch to say this is an exposition of the ninth command. I'm going to say it anyway. It's connected to the ninth command anyway, or it's in that genre. The ninth command, you remember, specifically says, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And so we have the command in that ninth command not to say wrong things or evil things about your brother or sister in the Lord, about your neighbor, but positively, you're also to protect their reputation as much as possible in you. But what Jesus is spelling out here particularly is for us to speak in general with integrity and truthfulness. And so it's connected to the loosely, I'm making that loose connection with the ninth command, and you may not like that, and that's okay. But what when we get into it, he's the basic exhortation that Christ is giving to us here is for us to speak with integrity. And as we talk about what was going on in the time of Jesus' day, that'll become clear. What he brings up is the use of oaths and vows in the Old Testament. That was very proper. It was part of the law. It was embedded in that in a variety of ways. He's quoting from the Old Testament. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people of long ago, do not break your oath, but keep the oaths you have made to the Lord. So he's not critiquing that. He's not saying that's bad. He's saying you've heard that. So let's look at a couple passages where this comes out pretty clearly. Turn first to Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus 19, verse 12. Leviticus 19, verse 12. He says, the law says, do not swear falsely by my name and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. The next one is in Numbers 30, verse 2. Numbers 30, verse 2. Where where the law reads, when a man makes a vow to the Lord or takes an oath to bind himself by a pledge, he must not break his word, but must do everything he said. And then one other one in Deuteronomy 23. Deuteronomy 23, verse 21. Deuteronomy 23, 21. If you make a vow to the Lord your God, do not be slow to pay it, for the Lord your God will certainly demand it of you, and you will be guilty of sin. And you can come back to Matthew, but the one point, the main point in both, in all three of these particular passages, and we could multiply verses, but the main point in these verses is, if you make a vow or take an oath, don't break it. So it's urging on us the importance of honoring the vows that we make. Now, that little point's going to be significant here in just a minute. So we, in our culture, in our lives, we don't take very many oaths, only in important situations usually, like marriage. We take marriage vows. There's sometimes the oath for office, sometimes vows for membership or vows at baptism. But vows and oaths that we take in those more significant moments in our lives are for the same point as the oaths in the Old Testament. It's more of a contractual situation. It's to affirm the importance of what it is that we're doing and affirm the validity of what we're saying. It's putting sort of a seriousness behind our commitment. When a husband and wife make vows to each other in their marriages, that's very, very significant. And God will not take those lightly. Those are very, very important. And it's a reminder. So when Jesus says, you've heard that it was said, when you take an oath, don't break it, he's not discounting that, or he's not nullifying that. He's reminding you of the importance of that. When you make a vow, you need to keep it. When you take an oath, you need to honor it. Well, the problem with the oaths and the vows in the time of the Pharisees was that they had begun to develop ways out of them. And the development of the Mishnah, which is a document of a lot of Jewish tradition, actually began and to be put together in the time of Ezra in around 400 or so, a little bit 450 B.C. It wasn't codified finally till probably something around 400 A.D. But by the time Jesus comes along in the Mishnah, there's this entire section which is explaining you which vows you need to be sure to keep and which vows you can get out of. And if you made your vow in the name of the Lord, you could not get out of it. And so even as Jesus critiques, what does he critique here? He's saying, I tell you, don't swear at all, either by heaven. You see, they said, well, if you swear by heaven, that's not so serious. You can maybe get out of that. Or if you swear by earth, again, that's not as serious. If you swear in the name of the Lord, you got to do it. But if you swear by earth, well, that's not so bad. If you swear by Jerusalem, it's a lesser vow, lesser oath. If you swear by your head, in other words, by your life, by my life, I will do such and such a thing. And so what had developed in the culture and the society and the life of the people, if they wanted to make a promise and sound really serious in doing it, you know, they want to really make themselves look good, they would swear, I swear by Jerusalem that I will do such and such a thing. But that was the fine print, you see. You know how contracts sometimes have the fine print, especially at the used car salesman, they have the fine print. It all sounds really good, but the fine print gives them the way out. You see, at the time of Christ, when he's dealing with these people, they had the fine print. Someone would come say, but you promised to do such and such. Well, I didn't swear by the Lord. I sweared by Jerusalem. I sweared by the temple. Or later on, Jesus is going to critique this again. They didn't swear by the altar. They swore by the gold on the altar. There are all kinds of ways for them to get out of keeping the promises that they're making. In other words, they're not telling the truth. In all these strange rulings perverted the purpose of the oath, which was to be a solemn commitment to the Lord in certain settings, in certain arenas of their life. But they wanted to look good. So they would make all kinds of other vows so they would look really like they're seriously promising something, and it was just a way to make them look good and get out of it. And so when Jesus comes to them, he's critiquing not the tradition, not the law. He's not critiquing what's in the Old Testament. He's critiquing the misuse of this among these people in that day. And thus he says to them, don't swear at all. Don't make any oaths. But let your yes be yes and your no by no be no. He's attacking not making oaths, not taking vows in their appropriate places. He's attacking the superficial, flippant, cavalier oath-taking that they were doing in that day. And he was critiquing the deceitfulness of their own hearts. They were lying. And even as he says toward the end of this, let your yes be yes and your no be no, anything beyond this comes from the evil one. Why would he say that comes from the evil one? Because the evil one is a liar and he's the father of lies. And so he's saying, if you give in to these superficial oaths and vows to make yourself look good, you are a liar and you are a child of the father of lies, the wicked one. And he's giving a very severe rebuke to the flippancy that was going on in that particular time. They were using an oath or a vow to cover their lie, is what they were doing. The bottom line is, Jesus was saying, you need to speak with integrity. Don't make a promise you can't keep. You know, we as parents have all had to learn that. You know, we make promises to our kids that we really aren't going to be able to keep. And we learn too well. They're the best attorneys in this room are under 20 years of age. They'll bring the case to you. And they'll get you every time. You don't make promises. You don't make commitments. You don't make vows that you can't keep, you won't keep. Speak with integrity. Speak with truthfulness. But are oaths or vows ever allowed today? Now, there are Christian brothers and sisters who believe that's true. Some of you remember Frank Dolan. He and I had a conversation many years ago about this very thing. And I guess, can't remember if he held to this or he just had friends that hold to this. When they go into a court of law, and remember, they ask you, do you swear to tell the whole truth and tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? And their answer would be, well, I affirm that I will tell the truth. They weren't going to swear anything. They refused to swear. Is it ever appropriate to take a vow or an oath today? Does that contradict what Jesus is saying? And I'm going to give you my basic answer and tell you why. Are oaths and vows appropriate today? Yes. They are. Was Jesus saying, you may never, ever take a vow or an oath? Of course, many of us are guilty because we've had taken wedding vows, so we've already blown it. Yes, they are appropriate. Why would I say that? A couple reasons. One is, we have to remember Jesus' technique of teaching, particularly in this place. Jesus had the technique of teaching, which was referred to as a mashal or a proverb, where you state something in an absolute way, but it doesn't mean that there isn't an implication that there are some exceptions or that there's another way of thinking. For example, and I don't want to have you turn there, but I'll give you the reference. In Proverbs 26:4, it says, "Do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you will be like him yourself." Okay, that's pretty absolute, isn't it? Do not answer a fool according to his folly. Under no circumstances do you answer a fool according to his folly. So take that verse and go, and when you see a fool spouting, you don't answer him. Proverbs 26:5, very next verse. "Answer a fool according to his folly, or he will be wise in his own eyes." Now, that's another absolute. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. See, the absolute statement is, in the proverbial technique, is affirming something, but it's that sounds like there's no exceptions, but it's not necessarily meaning, it's for the student to think about it. But beyond that, and even more important than that, is Jesus himself took oaths and vows. If you look here in Matthew 5, verse 18, we see a fairly familiar formula of Jesus. "For truly I say to you," and it's expanded in many other contexts where Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you." Or it's literally, "Amen, amen, I say unto you." What is Jesus doing? It's sort of a vow, oath. It's kind of an oath formula. Now, Jesus' credibility is never in question, but he affirms the truthfulness of what he's about to say with, as it were, an oath. Most significantly in his life, when he's before the high priest and he remains silent against all the accusations, the high priest said to him, "I charge you under oath by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." Now, your translations are going to have it a little differently. Some will say, "I adjure you in the name of God. I charge you in the name of God." But what he's saying is, he's putting Jesus under oath. Tell us the truth. Are you the Christ, the Son of God? And Jesus, under oath, says, "Yes." So would Jesus command us not to do something that he does? I don't think so. He will tell us to speak the truth. He will tell us to speak with integrity. God the Father, the whole foundation of our hope and our encouragement is on his oaths. He swore that Jesus Christ would be a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Turn to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 16. And it begins there, "Men swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all argument." And there's no critique of that. That's just a statement of fact. In verse 17, "Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. And God did this so that by two unchangeable things, the promise and the oath, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope offered to us may be greatly encouraged." The truthfulness of God is never at question, but so that you might be encouraged at the faithfulness of God, he gives you the promise and he gives you an oath. And he doesn't swear by someone lesser, he swears by himself. "I have sworn by my name, by my goodness, Jesus Christ will be a priest forever according to the Melchizedek." Why am I laboring this? Well, it's just so that you don't think you sinned when you got married. Or that when you take certain vows or promises in certain formal situations. Following along with some of the reformers, Martin Luther, John Calvin, and others, they distinguished in this context between public statements and private statements. In public statements, as it were, when a magistrate calls on you to affirm and that you're going to speak the truth, or when you're getting married, or other settings, informal public settings like that, those statements are appropriate. But in our private speech with one another, I need never to say, in God's name, I will do this. I simply need to say, I might say with God's help or Lord willing, that's not an escape clause, that's just giving acknowledgement that I don't control circumstances. But when I make a promise, it's just my truthfulness to you or you to me. In our private speech, we should be never taking oaths and never making vows. We should just be speaking with integrity. And that's the bottom line point that Jesus is getting at here. Even all that aside on whether we should take oaths or not take oaths, and you may take issue with what I've said, and that's okay. But the bottom line point is that Jesus is saying to you and to me, we need to speak with integrity. Our words, what used to be a man's word was his bond, not so true anymore. Our word needs to be our bond. If we say something, it needs to be correct. The one thing I want to bring you to think about as we've been working our way through this sermon, besides this particular point today, is, you know, as Jesus has been preaching and expounding the law, it's getting more and more difficult. You know, he starts off, you shouldn't commit adultery, but also you shouldn't have anger or contempt to your brother, and you should do everything in your power to be at peace with them. Well, that's pretty hard. That's a tall order. Then he ratchets it up a little bit more, and he says, you shall not commit adultery. And even the thoughts and intents of your heart, God knows and sees, and you ought to put them to death. Spiritual warfare, it's getting a little tougher. And here he says, what your words say need to mirror what's true in your own heart. And it's going to get worse. In the next section, he's going to tell you, you have to love the person who's persecuting you. And one of the things that we see, and it ends perhaps in the worst way possible, and if you look ahead at verse 48, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. As Jesus is expounding the law, what he's ultimately doing is he's driving us to understand that we cannot ever measure up. He's driving us to the gospel. He's driving us to grace. He's driving us to call out to the person who always spoke with absolute truth to cure my tongue, which is full of sin. He's calling on us to the one who never had a wicked thought go through his head, to cleanse this one who's full of wicked thoughts. He's calling on us who cannot possibly keep the standard he's setting to be forgiven and to cry out to him for his grace and his mercy and his peace. And so if you find yourself squirming under his exposition of the law, that's exactly where he wants you to be. You need to squirm. I need to squirm. Because you have no hope of keeping all of this except by his grace. And that's where he's driving you. And that's where your hope and your help is. In the one who will forgive you of your sins and cleanse you of all unrighteousness, and who promised that by an oath. It's his oath you depend on, not your human oaths. rest in Him, cry out to Him, and look to Him for grace. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for the word that Jesus expounded here for us, that confronts us with our weakness and our frailty and our sin. And thank You, O Lord, that He also came not only to redeem us and forgive us, but to put us on the path of righteousness. May we, by Your grace and by the power of the Holy Spirit, walk that path, that people would see in us Christ and glorify You, our Father, who is in heaven. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.